And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's great to be back with you. I'm in my office in San Antonio, Texas, and just returned from Israel and Jordan, and it's so great to be back. Oh, we had a great trip, and the Lord really blessed, had a great time, got some great emails from those that were on the trip with us about how much they really enjoyed the trip, how God really blessed, and the teachings there. And, you know, we have a unique way of looking at Israel, past, present, and the future, what God's plan is for Israel in the future. We would love for you to go with us sometime. We're, you know, there are a lot of people that go to Israel, a lot of trips. We like to take multiple trips in a year and not try to keep everybody in one trip. Let me just give you this personal tip. Having been to Israel so many times, I mean, I think next year will be my 30th year of working and living in the land of Israel. I'd lived there, I worked there, I spent a lot of time, did a lot of work with Day of Discovery Television over 15 years of working in the land doing television work, have many youth trips that I've taken there, have many adults trips that we have taken there, countless numbers, can't even begin to imagine how many we've had over the years. And all my time there, well, one thing that I could tell you for sure, when you go with a trip, let me just say, here's a little hint, go with a smaller group. A lot of people want to go with the big preachers, and those are great trips. Nothing against that. They put on a great trip. But really, when you go with a pastor and a big group, you're really traveling with a lot of people, and that's it takes a lot of work to get those people around. They travel together, and most often you don't really get to spend a whole lot of time with those personalities that are on the trip. And that's why we like to keep a smaller trip. So we like the personal attention that either I give, my brother, my dad, you know, my mom travels with us when she's there. So we get, and a lot of people will give testimony to the fact that we like to give personal attention in our trips. So if you're looking at going to the land of Israel with people that have been there over and over, given a Christian presentation, we do all the biblical teaching in the land. We use an Israeli guide. You've heard him from time to time on our radio program. We use an Israeli guide. He's a great personal friend of ours. And but we do all the biblical teaching while we're there. We're the ones that look at all the aspects of Israel, past, present, and future, and all of Christ's messages and the gospel messages and his teachings there, what he was teaching to the body of Christ through those messages and preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. The technical interpretation of the record that we have of Christ's life that he lived on this earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. Yeah, if you've listened to us, you've heard this message before. We've talked about this, the three strands of the human family. In fact, I'll talk a little bit about that today in answering some of our questions. But in this process, the technical interpretation is Jesus telling his disciples how they are to live in the kingdom. But the spiritual application is we can apply that to our lives on a daily basis and learn how to live our life in this world, this unholy world, to live a holy life, and how we should relate not only to our God, which Christ told his disciples and all of those that were around him when they asked him the question, what was the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And in doing that, when you love somebody with all your heart, soul, and mind, you really love that person all the way through. You want to get to know them. You want to know everything about them. What makes them happy. Look at the words, what Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room. If you love me, then keep my commandments. I mean, he's telling them, hey, if you love me and you want to make me happy, and you say that you love me, then keep my commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, doing those two things, if you could do those two things, all the other aspects of the Ten Commandments and even the, you know, all of those will fall right in line. So in this process of, you know, Christ recorded messages and his life that he lived in the Gospels, we have learned how to live, and we teach that while we're there in the land, and the simple technique in which Christ used the surroundings, the parables, the customs, the cultures of the time. We go through all of that while we're there. And we would love for you to go with us and be a part of those trips, you know, personal attention in Israel. And of course, so we go down to Eilat and go over to Jordan for a day, go sailing on the Red Sea. Fantastic trip. Personal testimonies from all of the people that were with us. They had a great time. And I just received several emails from people that have been on the trips. And we would love for you to go with us. Next time we'll be going to Israel. And if you're interested, maybe you're listening and you say, all right, you know what, Jimmy, I can't go that time, but I have some people that I would like to go, and we would like to put together a special trip to the land of Israel. You've been there so many times. We would love for you to teach us and take us be there in the land. Another time we would like to go, say in January or February, maybe the summertime. Get in touch with us. We would love to do that. We can help you put that together also, and go there and teach for you, or we'll put you in contact with a great land agent in the land of Israel that will help you accomplish all of that. Well, we've got quite a few questions this week that we want to get to, and I just want to thank you all again for being very patient, sending in these questions on a weekly, daily basis. As a matter of fact, there are so many questions that have come in. J.B. Robertson Sr. sends in a question, and J.B.'s question, in your book, Revelation, a Chronology, this question is directed towards Dad. On pages 24 and 25, at the 3.5 years, Michael and his angels fight Satan, and his evil angels are thrown out of heaven. My question is, if Satan and a third of his angels was thrown out of heaven and is waiting for judgment, how does Satan and the angels enter heaven again and is thrown out? If according to 2 Peter 2:4, they are waiting for judgment. Please give me some scripture that verifies what you said. I only desire to know the truth. Well, JB, thanks for, let's go take a look at that passage. I know that you said that was in Dad's book, but let me just tell you what he's talking about here. In Revelation chapter 12, this is the portion in his book. And again, Revelation, a Chronology is a great book that Dad has put together. Very simple, easy to read, to understand. Revelation chapter 12, and again, the timeline for the remaining events on God's calendar, the rapture is the next thing to take place. That's an imminent event. We're waiting for that event to take place. That's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a description of exactly how it will take place in verses 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this event of the rapture. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we get an indication of the rapture. Chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, all the body of Christ is ushered into the heavenlies. We're in the throne room of God. That's when we will have the judgment seat of Christ, where we will give an account for how we lived our lives on this earth. And it's at that point that our wedding garments are determined as the bride of Christ. Also, the crowns in which we will receive and lay at the feet of Christ. We're given those at that point in time. And that's a description of Revelation 4 and 5. We get a description of the throne room and what's taking place there. Revelation chapter 6 is the beginning of the tribulation period. That begins with the man on a white horse, the first seal that's opened by Christ, the Lamb, who, interestingly, is not sitting on the throne at that point in time. He's at the right hand of the Father. His role, he will open the seal and the sealed judgments. And the first one in Revelation chapter 6 is the man on a white horse, which is the Antichrist, talked about in Daniel chapter 9. Again, a description of the Antichrist given in Revelation chapter 13. And so the seven-year period of this tribulation period from Daniel chapter 9, that 70th week of Daniel, starts to unfold, a seven-year period of time. First 3.5 years of this period, the Antichrist has confirmed a peace agreement with Israel. It's a false peace, but he will protect them and be their friend. And at the midway point of the tribulation period is when we're looking at Revelation chapter 12, and the woman who is Israel will have to flee to the wilderness because Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet have turned against Israel and chases them into the wilderness. Verse 7, which you're talking about, JB, and the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. We know that Satan right now is the accuser of the brethren. That's what his role is. That's what he does. He has access to the heavenlies. He's the accuser of us believers. I know it happens at least on a basis in my life when I am doing something that I am very sorry for, that I have. For instance, when I drive, I know I'm driving, I can get in the flesh. And, it's one of those things that happens. And every time I sin or I'm on the road, Satan goes to the Father and he says, "Hey, do you see that? Do you see that your child down there, Jimmy DeYoung, as he's driving? Do you see what he's doing? See how he's driving?" And he calls himself a Christian. And that's when Christ steps up and says, "Father, I died for Jimmy DeYoung's sins, and I've taken the punishment already. His sins are forgiven." But Satan does have access to the heavenlies now. In fact, that's what says in chapter 12, verse 10, that this accuser, he accuses the brethren before God day and night, and he has been cast down. And so here's the scenario, JB. At the midway point of the tribulation, Michael and his angels fight with Satan. He's cast out of the heavenlies, and which Satan has access to now. And his demons, who have access not to the throne room, but to the heavens. Remember, there are three heavens. There's the one that we see by day. There's the one that we see by night. And then there's the one that we see by faith. That's where God is, and the third heavens. But Satan has access to the first and second heavens. And it's at that point in time that Satan will be thrown out of the throne room of the heavenlies. He will be thrown to the earth along with a third of the angels that have been involved in demonic activity since Satan was thrown out of the garden. Actually, Ezekiel 28 talks about this. Because of his pride, he was thrown out off of the holy mountain of God. Interestingly, that he uses that phrase in Ezekiel 28, thrown off of the holy mountain of God. And we know that he was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. If you know anything about what we teach, what we've talked about in the past, that the Garden of Eden and the holy mountain of God are synonymous, the same place, and that is in the city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the holiest spot on earth. We believe that that's where the Garden of Eden at. We tie that into the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That's where the temple stood, the first and second temples. That's where Abraham offered Isaac, the threshing floor that David purchased from Arnon the Jebusite. That's the foundation stone underneath the Dome of the Rock. Again, that's the most controversial site, religious site in the world. It's the most important site in all of this world, the universe, where God created Adam and Eve, and that's the Garden of Eden, where he established his first kingdom with Adam and Eve, where Satan went in. He was upset that Adam and Eve were given dominion over the animals. That was Satan's role, or Lucifer at the time. He was upset at that. That's where he caused Eve and Adam to sin. And through that process, the first prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, God says, tells the serpent what's going to happen to him. And that is the role that Satan has played throughout all time. His role is to destroy God, his angels, and man. And he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The angels that fell with Satan, a third of those angels that are given to us, that number given to us in Revelation chapter 12, they will receive their judgment. Their judgment is in Revelation chapter 20, where they will be sentenced and placed eternally into the lake of fire. Right now, they have access to the first and second heavens. They go to and fro seeking, and these demons are doing Satan's work. And they will have a much more of a presence in the end times, especially during the tribulation period, especially in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, where Satan realizes he's got a short amount of time to accomplish, to try to accomplish his goal of defeating God. It's not going to happen. He's not going to defeat the Jewish people. By the way, it's at the midway point that the Antichrist and Satan turn against the Jewish people. They flee to the wilderness. That's what Revelation chapter 12 is talking about. The intensity on the earth at that point in time of demonic activity is so intensified, and they cause so much death and destruction. Men wish that they could die, and they can't. And this is the progress of what takes place during the tribulation, this 7-year period of time. It's at the end of the 7-year period of time where Satan is bound for 1,000 years. The demons, false prophet, the angels that had fallen, the Antichrist, they will be waiting for their punishment of being thrown into the lake of fire at the end of the 1,000-year period of time when Satan is released. Again, he tries to come against God when he's released, but then Revelation chapter 20, he is thrown into the lake of fire. We get a description where he will be there for eternity. Revelation chapter 20, Satan is released and leads the rebellion. Verse 7, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to do battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Again, there will be a lot of people during that 1,000-year period of time that will be born and live will not, and you've heard us talk about this before, if you've listened to our program, people that are professors and not possessors during this millennial kingdom, those that are born to those Gentiles and Jews that come through the tribulation period, the saints that survive and are ushered into the kingdom. When that happens, there will be many people that will be able to have children during that point in time. They don't have the perfect heavenly bodies that are glorified bodies that we get. They have normal bodies. They will live because they eat of the tree of life that's in the Garden of Eden, that was in the Garden of Eden, that's on the Temple Mount. We get a description of that in Revelation chapter 22. But Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, verse 10 of chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. And the false prophet, the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And of course, and then shortly after that is when the judgment, the great white throne judgment takes place. And all those that rejected Jesus Christ are thrown into the lake of fire to join Satan. This judgment that you talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2, yes, those fallen angels will be judged. But at the present time, they do have access to the first and second heavens. They have access all the way back from Genesis chapter 6, where they had access, and why God judged the earth and with the flood because of their access to man and the daughters of men. Again, this is all part of answering your question as to will they enter heaven again? Only Satan has access to the throne room where he is the accuser of the brethren, but his demons do have access to the first and second heavens. They travel to and fro doing Satan's demonic deeds on this earth. JB, thank you for sending that in. Hopefully that helps you. I would take a look. There are so many passages in Scripture as to Satan as the accuser of the brethren. Job talks about this. There are some, you know, where his role right now, and that he's not been punished. He has access. His demons have access. We've even talked about that he becomes an angel. He can become as an angel of light and deceive even those people that are in the church. The number one indication that we're living in the end times, JB, is the fact that there is deception is prevailing. There's much deception on the earth right now. Even Christians, even those people that go to churches, I wouldn't even say that they're believers in Jesus Christ. They're not Christians. But they go to church and they're being deceived as if they are saved from eternal judgment to the lake of fire. I've been to churches. My wife and I have looked around, and there are a lot of churches that don't even give an invitation anymore, salvation message. That's not popular. Nobody wants to hear that you have to make a decision. You have to decide to live a right life, to live a life that's separate from the rest of the world. And so, therefore, there are churches now that have changed their message. But in any case, JB, Satan does have access to the throne room right now, and his angels have access to the first and second heavens, but they will be cast out of the heavenlies to the earth during the tribulation period at the midway point. And I hope that answers your question. Thank you for sending that in. So let's take a look at our next question that comes in from Timothy Larkin. And Timothy Larkin is he's in the United States Air Force. Thank you, Timothy, for sending in your question. Thank you for your service to our country. I'm not sure where you're at right now, where you're located, but we do thank you for your service to our country. Your question is, when Jesus returns at the second coming to the Mount of Olives, doesn't he go first to Basra and Petra, then to the Battle of Armageddon with the saints? Well, no, according to the scriptures, Revelation chapter 19, we get an indication that he comes back to the earth. The armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. It's at this point in time, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to following, that he comes back to the earth and fights this battle of Armageddon, this battle that we get a description of in Revelation chapter 14. We get a description of this passage, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and became, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. Here's the scenario, Tim. At the end of the seven-year period of time, Christ comes out of the heavenlies. That's Revelation chapter 19. We get a reference to this battle as Satan has gathered all the armies of the world from Zechariah chapter 13 and 14 to the city of Jerusalem to do battle and to wipe out the Jewish people and to defeat God. All the nations of the world are gathered to the city of Jerusalem. When Christ comes out of the heavenlies, he will come back and touch down on the Mount of Olives. That's when Satan then makes his journey to the Jezreel Valley. He'll probably go by the way of Jericho up the Jordan Valley and end up in the Jezreel Valley, the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of the Mountains. That's where we get Har Megiddo, the Mountain of Megiddo, Armageddon, that word Armageddon from. This is where this battle takes place. Napoleon called it the mother of all battlefields. So that's where the armies of Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet will gather. All the armies of the world that are gathered there. Christ comes back, touches down on the Mount of Olives, rebuilds the temple. From there, he goes and does the battle in the Jezreel Valley, Battle of Armageddon that's talked about. And in Isaiah 63, he says, who is this who comes as if he's been treading in the winepress? And we get this apocalyptic literature, we can combine that with Revelation chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 19, Christ coming back to the earth. He goes to Basra, collects those Jews that fled to the wilderness from the Antichrist at the midway point of the tribulation period, where they will be protected for 3.5 years. Christ gathers them and brings them from the way of the east through the eastern gate onto the Temple Mount, where he and in this process he fulfills the three remaining feasts. He fulfilled the four spring feasts, and he fulfills the three remaining feasts: Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, where he walks onto the Temple Mount as the high priest, and the Feast of Tabernacles, where he initiates the serving and the opening of the temple and the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Feast of Trumpets, a regathering of Jewish people. He regathers them. He gathers them in the wilderness and then brings them in. So that's the scenario, Tim, as he comes back to the earth. He then goes, fights a battle, goes, collects the remaining Jews that have gone into the wilderness to flee from the Antichrist, and then he brings the Jews to Jerusalem, where all of Israel will be saved in a day. Thank you for your question, Tim. I appreciate that. And thank you again for your service. Hopefully that helps you in understanding a little bit more clear about what's going to take place in the future. Those passages, again, Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 63, and Zechariah chapter 13 and 14, we get an indication of all of these events taking place. And this is inductive Bible study. Again, you take all those parts and pieces, and you find the order in which they go. Sharon from Jamaica sends in a question, and thank you, Sharon, for listening to our Prophecy Q&A and following our ministry. Actually, you send in two. Let me answer your second one first. You say, I'm interested in the Home Prophecy Program. Let me just say this. That would be a great program for you, Sharon. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and you can click on Past Program. You can order the program through there. We've got lots of people that have gone through that now. And my neighbor was the first to graduate from Pass, and he's actually, I think he's going to start teaching that and at his church where he goes. And I told him, just use the books, the workbooks that he has so faithfully gone through and underlined and his Bible. He bought a brand new Bible and went through this process. And that's what we want. That's what we intend for the program to be. So Sharon, you can go to our past program. Just click on that and you'll be able to sign up for that. Your first question that you asked is, I would like to hear your comments on Revelation 21:10 and Revelation 19:7-8, which speaks to the bride. When I saw Revelation 21, I thought the angel was going to show John us, the church, but he showed him the city of Jerusalem, and I was disappointed. I had to grab a hold of myself and rebuke the spirit of jealousy. I know I have read this passage more than once, and I know the Lord said that he is married to Jerusalem, his beautiful lamb, but was just kind of taken back when I saw it recently. What's your take? Well, definitely, Revelation 19, he's talking to the bride of Christ. He says, Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, which, by the way, is the most important thing that we can do right now as believers, to give glory and honor to God in all that we do. For the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And that's determined by your works. That's earlier in today's question and answer, I talked about Revelation chapter 4, the very first thing that we do as we are standing at the judgment seat of Christ, where we give an account for how we lived our lives. That's how we determine our garments. And it says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Sharon, in this passage, we are, who are the body of Christ, the church, the Christians, those that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, from Acts chapter 2 all the way to the rapture of the church, we are the bride of Christ. And then it says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there are the wedding guests, and those will be righteous Gentiles and Jews. Those will be the wedding guests, but we are the bride of Christ. So Revelation 19 talks about us as the bride of Christ and where we get our fine garments, our wedding garments that we'll be wearing. But Revelation 21, when it talks about this city of Jerusalem that's coming down, it's talking there as the city and how beautiful this city will be. There's a description of the city of Jerusalem that comes down, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and the sea was no more. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And this is a depiction of the city, because we get a description of the city, of what is there and what the city looks like and how beautiful. And I think that's a description that we're looking at in Revelation 21, is how beautiful this new Jerusalem will be. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. There will be no need for a temple, because God will be with us there, and he will be our temple. He'll be dwelling with us in that place. So this is the new Jerusalem, although in the new earth, the city of Jerusalem will be added there, and the temple will be there. As it says, there will be a temple in the city of Jerusalem forever, and that's what it's talking. So this is talking about the new Jerusalem. Of course, the temple will be in the city of Jerusalem on the new earth. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. By the way, it's not until after the great white throne judgment that all tears are wiped out in heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for all these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So here we get a description of this city that you're talking about, is the new Jerusalem that comes down out of the heavenlies. God will be there dwelling with us. And it's at that location he's describing this new city. And we get a description of the city itself and the gates and the, all that's there and that will be a part of it, and to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. This depiction of the city is likened unto a bride that has been adorned for her husband, for the groom. So anyway, thank you, Sharon, for sending that question in. Hopefully that helps you. We are the bride of Christ. We play a very specific role in the marriage supper of the Lamb and this marriage to Christ forever. But there will be those that will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, those invited guests, and those are the righteous Gentiles and Jews from the Old Testament and from the tribulation period, the saints that are ushered into the millennial kingdom. They are the invited guest. Thank you so much for your question, Sharon. Thank you for sending it in and listening to us in Jamaica. Hopefully you will be a part of our past program, and anybody can be a part of our past program. Go to our Prophecy Today website and click on Pass. You'll find out how to be a part of our brand new program that you can study and understand. And just like our first graduate, Mike, you'll be able to start teaching as you, and that's what we encourage all to do. Study. You all have the opportunity. You can all study God's Word. Everything is there. You know, we study. We have studied God's Word. We understand Bible prophecy. So we're able to teach and to speak in front of others. And that's what we encourage all of you to do also. You have that ability with this brain that God has given us to study and understand the same things and come to the same conclusions by understanding the proper biblical principles for studying Bible prophecy. Well, thank you for your questions, for sending them in. Keep sending them in to us. And be sure to listen to this weekend's program, Prophecy Today Weekend, that airs on Saturday. And then you can listen to it live on Saturday or listen to it through the Prophecy Today Radio Network. Thank you for joining us this week on Prophecy Q&A. We look forward to being with you again next week. Make sure that you keep looking up until